Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
And I'm Pastor Margaret Michael. Today, we are excited to introduce our guest. She's no stranger around here, but a guest on Hope Talks today. Angela Sipe is joining us. Angela, how are you today?
I'm well. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, we are glad to have you. And today is Mother's Day. And
happy Mother's Day to all the mothers listening. And I'm thankful to still have my mother here. And even though I won't get to see her today, I'm thankful for her.
Yeah. Shout out to Kim.
Yes, indeed.
Right, Angela?
Yes.
Shout out. So today we're going to talk about Mother's Day, but maybe in a little bit of a different form than we've done that before. Angela, you've lost your mom. I'm in the same boat. But before we go there, I would love for you just to share with us a little bit about your life and about growing up and even having the mother that you had, and hearing some of your story, and then we'll come into the present a little bit later on.
Okay. I want to thank you all for giving me this opportunity. When you asked me, I was really not prepared or even thought through what this might look like. But I like the opportunity to be able to say out loud some of the things that I've thought and prayed about the last year and a half. I was raised in a Christian home, Pentecostal to be a little more specific. So anybody that knows that and has been raised right. like that knows some of the aspects of it. My parents did divorce when I was 11, but it was an amicable separation, and they may have been unequally yoked in their marriage, but they were equally yoked in making my brother and I a priority, and that was always a blessing. They continued both to take us to church. They both continued in church and just never put us through a custody battle. We always felt loved. We never felt shoved aside. So that's a blessing in itself, hugely. And so some of that, even though my home broke up, the rest of it is really what built me. It was redemption. It was forgiveness. My parents both showed me the example of getting along, even when you don't agree, maintaining lifestyles in the church community, and never arguing or being ugly to each other in front of us or using us as a pawn.
Yeah.
So I'm very grateful for that. As far as my mother, she was always very strict, especially on me, more so than my brother. And shout out to Tony, if he's listening. he was her baby, and it was. I was very strict in how I was to dress. She always played the piano and the organ, and so I was on the back pew getting the stink eye many church services because I was laughing or misbehaving. And as I got older, as with any mother and daughter, when the daughter became a teenager, there was always rifts and disagreements and, you know, you're too strict, you won't let me do anything. So there was that. Again, my mother always was godly, always modest, prayerful, at a young age taught me about tithing. So even though I may not have liked her all of the time, there was always that teaching that how to be a godly woman, how to look to the scripture when you didn't understand. Would you like me to keep going?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. these are things that have just gone through my mind in the last several months, but I'll pick up from there. When I became a mother at 26, I really had this desire to know my mother more. Mm-hmm. You know, you start understanding a little bit about where they come from. And I got more curious about what built her. She lost her mother when she was 12 in the hospital for, I believe, gallbladder surgery and went into cardiac arrest and didn't come home. So she was never knew her father and was raised by very strict grandparents, Pentecostal grandparents. So she had that foundation, and there was no way she was going to get away from that when it came to us. So fast forward back to me becoming a mother, I started understanding more about her and maybe some of the hurts I felt in conversations with her were really just her being fearful, her wanting to protect me. That old saying, nothing good happens after midnight. So I always had to be home by 11. And so, again, as becoming a mother and just had this strong desire to know my mother and how she just stepped up to be a grandmother. And the sun rose on Blake. He was the first grandchild. And just watching her with him. And she married a wonderful man, godly man. They did not have children together, so it was always me and my brother as priorities. And they were both teachers, didn't have a lot of money, but there were just so many memories in ministry and just still family time. And my dad and stepfather always got along. Again, they may not have always agreed, but my dad would call my stepdad his husband-in-law, just a sidebar there. We always thought that was funny, but that was my dad. So my mother was always young-looking and extremely talented. She played accordion and piano and pipe organs. There was nothing she couldn't play. And I always admired that about her. And she sewed all of her clothes and a lot of mine and Tony's made us match, which, yeah, that was funny too. But anyway, so she just had these talents and these gifts that I really didn't get, but again, admired them about her. And going back to her, she was always healthy. She always wanted to raise her own food and was very much a homebody. And that was her, probably a lot like your own mother, you know, that was their safe place. Yeah. It was their comfort zone. And so she was never selfish about it. It was like anybody that wanted to come into it, she would welcome them, pray over them. And praying over them reminded me one time when I believe I was in college, and I was home one day, and there were these two gentlemen in white shirts and black pants. You can imagine who they might have been. They knocked on the door, and I was like, "Mom, they're back." She said, "I'll take care of this." So she walked to the door, and there was this long conversation, and she walked out and closed the door behind her. And I heard her say, "Well, I listened to you. Now you're going to listen to me." And they did. And I don't think they came back. I don't recall, but I don't think they did. But she, I want to fast forward again, just retired well. She taught at-risk students for Rockingham County. It was like a second chance program, and she just embraced these young people. Some of them might have had children young, or they had to quit school to support their families, and that was her ministry. So she retired doing that, and then just embraced retirement, continued to just live well. And then she and I just, we got closer and closer. We enjoyed going to thrift stores. We enjoyed going to out to eat. It was just, we became friends, and I really believed it was the friend that she always desired, that she didn't have growing up, that she and I could talk about things. And she was glad to tell me about when she was growing up. Like, she would tell me, I remember one story, she was at her grandmother's house on Washington Street in Harrisonburg. And she said she was a little girl and her mother had already passed. And there was a knock at the door. And she said grandma went to the door and opened it. And there was a man there. He looked like a hobo. He was the classic hobo picture. He had the long stick with the little bag on the end. And they did live near the railroad. And so she said Grandma came back in and got some food and took it to him. And Mom said, I was so curious about where did he come from. So she ran to the back of the house to watch, see which direction he went. And she didn't see him. And so she ran to the door, and she didn't see him. And she said, I believe to that day that she told me the story that it was an angel. And so those are things that I just gravitated toward. I was so hungry for those stories. And so my mother started not feeling well in the summer of 21 and started losing weight and finally agreed to go for some tests. So there was a few things that were surprising, like she was diabetic, which just really surprised us because she took such good care of herself. And then she got better. And then in about the end of April in 2022, we noticed her legs were swelling. She was a small woman, so it was very noticeable. And so I was over there on Tuesday evening, and she had bought some new watch bands. And so we were just putting some new animal print watch bands on that she loved. And that Thursday morning, they were getting ready to go camping. She was determined to go camping. She loved to take her horses and go camping, even though she didn't feel great. And my stepdad had gone to get her a strawberry rhubarb pie, which she loved. And while he was gone, my nephew Noah had gone by to help him load up. And so he was sitting in the living room talking to Granda, which is what the grandchildren called her. And she just collapsed on the couch. And he called 911, and they did resuscitate her. So that morning, all day, she never became responsive. And so that night we found out after some imaging that she actually had stage 4 lymphoma that we didn't know. And apparently she may have known, but we don't know. And the tumors had really just gotten up into her heart. And so she just fell over sitting on her couch waiting to go camping, which was what I would always have wanted for my mother. Yeah. She deserved that. Yeah. Yeah. She really deserved that favor.
Yeah.
And that she was with her nephew who, yeah, you know, could care for her. And so that evening when we unplugged everything and made that decision with God's help and friends and pastors around, I sat by her bed and sang all the songs that she would put me on the stage as a little girl to her. And sang her into heaven. And so that's the story of a little bit of beginning to end. But there's a few things during that story, even now. Yeah. There were times that my mother really parented hurt. And when I became an adult more and more, and I heard the quote, hurt people hurt people, mm-hmm, that explained my mother. And I think a lot of relationships happen in that context, that the parents are hurt. Yeah. Mm. And again, we don't come with instruction booklets. So they're parenting the best they can.
That's right.
But as godly people, the Bible is clear of how we handle our relationships. Mm. There's always room. There may not be time, but there's always room for forgiveness. And like you say, Pastor Margaret, conversations to make it better, because we don't want to mourn what we didn't have.
Right.
We want to mourn and be grateful for what we did have.
Yeah.
And that means everything.
Right.
It does.
So you and I did, and we do witness conversations in ministry of broken relationships with our parents. And the old quote, change in attitude changes everything, is very true.
True in my life.
It is.
Yeah.
So I believe that if you're listening today and there is tension, there is hurt, there is pain with you and your mother or your father, I encourage you to think about them as people, not just as our parent, as your parent. Think about where they may have been hurt. Pray about how you can maybe be part of their healing. Again, we don't have any idea when we might lose them. I thought my mother was going to be here in her 90s and wreaking havoc on us.
Right.
You know, yeah. Us saying, no, you're not getting on that horse. Yeah. You know, no, you're not going to plant that big garden. You're too old. It would not have happened if she was still here.
Yeah.
But that Thursday morning when I was sitting at my desk, I didn't know.
Yeah.
I just didn't know. And the trauma of that is very real still, but I have no regrets.
Yeah.
And I want for anyone listening to have those same blessings. Yeah. It's never too late.
Yeah.
It really isn't.
Yeah.
I could just echo what you've been saying, Angela. And so identify with you. We'll have to have a conversation later. But it's no secret that I too didn't always have, see eye to eye with my mom. And what you're saying about sometimes we parent hurt. I didn't realize it when I was growing up, but actually it's really kind of ironic that I watched a movie one time and I felt like I watched our life play out on a screen. Now, my mom would be, that wouldn't go well, right? Like, she wasn't much for TV at all. But it was one of those movies that made me reflect on what had happened in our, in our lives and her life before she ever knew me, before I became a part of her family. And it changed my perspective because I realized what happens when people are hurt and how they respond. And so I think at that point I became more intentional and, tried to rebuild. And there's just one image that I have in my mind as you were talking that I want to share because we're here to interview you. But I too lost my mom and I feel that this is so important that we make every opportunity that we have to make things better so that when that day comes that there's no regret, I wish I would have. Because that's just hard because you can't change that. And so I just remember one night we were all at my siblings and I were at mom and dad's. Mom, we knew she was getting close to the end. And we'd had a real serious conversation that night because we knew that we were coming to that place in her life. And I can't remember what it was said, but her response to me was, well, Margaret, that if we want to be forgiven, we're going to have to forgive each other, aren't we? Mm-hmm. And my mom wasn't the hugging type. I didn't grow up with that type of, but in that moment, I just reached down and I bear hugged her. And there wasn't a thing she could do it. She was in her wheelchair and I just bear hugged her with her arms down and just held on. And we cried together and laughed at the same time. And it was the most healing, precious moment that wouldn't have happened had I not pushed to continue to reconcile. And so I just have that beautiful picture of, it's just a really good scene at the end of a movie. And if you would have asked me 20 or 30 years prior to that, maybe even 10 years prior to that, I would have said, uh-uh. But it can happen. And so I just want to encourage those listening to not give up and let the enemy allow you to believe that there's no hope. In Christ, there's always hope for reconciliation. As long as there's breath, there's hope. Mm-hmm. And so absolutely, 100% agree with what you've shared. And, it's easy while our mothers are living and, we talk with people who are, in relationship with their parents and it's not always great. We were in a conversation recently and I think the person that we're in conversation with would be totally okay with us just talking about that moment of when we were having the conversation with someone and they were talking about going to see their mom and there was a little dread, honestly. And I know that
and
feeling.
And we've all been there.
Yeah, I
yes,
know that
indeed.
Feeling.
Yes.
And we were both standing there looking at one another like, well, we've both lost our moms. And it would be really nice on Mother's Day if, we could go see them. It'd be nice any day that we could go see them. And it was a little bit of a hard conversation, but I think it was the right conversation.
Yes. Right. And they realized very quickly.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And so I was just doing a little reading up on Mother's Day before we're recording. I was like, I wonder what it says about Mother's Day. And one of the things that was so interesting to me is on Mother's Day, there are more phone calls made than any other day of the year, a spike of 37% above what is normal. Mm-hmm. And I think that speaks to the amount of people that's the one day they know they have to call.
Yeah.
And I would just, from my past experience, encourage those that call once a year. This year, would you try four times? Would you do it quarterly? whatever. Yeah. Whatever you can do, pray about that and raise the bar.
Well, as you were saying that, I was thinking, I mentioned I won't see my mom today and I'll call her, but I try to call her and my dad almost every day.
Right.
And, there's other people in my life that I try to call often too. I know I'll call my grandmother's today. I'll call my sister because it's her second Mother's Day. And just different people in our lives. It's like you said, it's a good reminder. We shouldn't just call them on certain days, whether it's their birthday or Mother's Day, Father's Day, whatever it is. We need to be more intentional with those relationships throughout the year.
Because like Angela said, we don't know when that last day that we'll be sitting at the desk or in the garden, wherever we may be, we don't know where that day is that we'll hear that, get that phone call, or that someone will get a phone call about us, right? Yeah. It's not just the other way. It's true. We don't know.
Yes, it's true.
Yeah.
And there are times that, we're human, we get mad, we get resentful and stubborn, and usually those that we love are the ones that we target with our anger or our resentment. And I think there's times that, when you go to a card shop and you're like, I need to get a card, but nothing really works or suits because you're not feeling it or it's too mushy or that's not her or that's not him. And that's okay. That's okay to have those feelings sometimes. But I could not let them make life-changing decisions when I felt that way. My mother especially, always deserved to be honored. And I know that there are relationships that are hard. I get that. There's times that the hurt is so deep that we just can't. In ministry, we see it. And it's ugly and it's very difficult to think beyond it. But like you said, Margaret, as long as we have breath, even if one person in that father or mother and child relationship or vice versa is a Christian, we have a responsibility.
We do.
And we never want to be selfish with our salvation with anyone. So if it's a parent or a brother and a sister or anyone that we love, we really need to pray about that and ask the Lord for strength, because we might say, Lord, help me do better or help me to get rid of this anger. But he wants us to choose not to have it. He'll give us the strength to choose to be better.
Yeah.
To choose not to be angry. That's what honors him. And so I just encourage anyone today to just start today and pray about the strength to choose to be different in that relationship.
Yeah, we do have a responsibility. And we, we will answer for how we, our part. We can't do anything about what someone else has done to us other than forgive them, which is a process, but we have to be willing to forgive. And I think God honors that. God, I'm willing. I don't know how to. I'm willing to forgive. Will you help me to do that? Because I think that's work that only God can do. I don't think that's something in and of ourselves that we have the capacity as human beings to do.
I agree.
That's God's work.
Yes.
To do that forgiving work in our heart. And our part in that is to be willing and then ask God for opportunities. You know, like even, you know, I think about, I had a conversation with one of my family members close to the end of mom's life. And they said, you know, I think she's fighting something. She, you know, she's fighting. She's just not letting go. And I was putting her to bed one night and she said something about not having peace. And it so shocked me that she shared that with me that I walked away and didn't really embrace that. But I went back the next day because the next morning, not only did my friend call and say, hey, how'd it go last night? Because she knew it was my turn, my night to put mom to bed. And I said, well, you know, she shared something with me. And I said, we're going out of town today. I think I need to call her and have a conversation with her. She said, no, you need to go see her before you leave. And I'm so grateful that I had a godly friend that told me the truth.
Yeah.
And that morning, the devotion I read was just the perfect lead-in to the conversation we needed to have that day. And, you know, we get there, and there's six people in the house. And I'm like, well, this is going to be hard with mom. And now I've got these people. And then the dust flies, and here comes another car. And then there's seven in the room. And I go, okay, this is a number of completion. And I walked in the door. Mom said, Margaret, are you all right? I must have looked like I'd seen a ghost, you know, because I was scared of having that conversation. I didn't have peace. And I took a lap around the house and I came back in and sat down and had that conversation. And a few days later, my niece walked in to her bed and was talking to her. And she said to my niece, she patted her heart. My mom patted her heart and she said, I have peace in my heart. And, you know, hard conversations, we don't know how in the world we'll ever do it. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, we don't. God does. Mm-hmm. But we have to take that step of faith and make sure that we are willing to do, to take a step in that direction. And it's a beautiful memory that I will have for the rest of my life. But a very hard step to take that day.
Yeah.
Well, been good to have you, Angela. Would you mind saying a prayer for mothers and those with mothers, which covers everybody?
And those today? Without mothers.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, even those that have gone before us. Yeah.
Lord, we are grateful to have a day in the year that's called Mother's Day, and it doesn't always bring a joy or happy thoughts at first. However, Lord, I do believe that it was your purpose that we honor not only our mothers or mothers that have gone on, but each other that are mothers, Lord. We have friends and family who some ladies didn't even give physical birth, Lord, but they have mothered and ministered to young people or children or fostered children like families in our church that I admire so deeply. Lord, I pray for the mothers that are listening today. I pray, Lord, that you would give them many reasons to smile. I pray, Lord, that you would give them many reasons to feel blessed. I pray, Lord, that the church as a world organization would become our mother again, Lord. Those of us in the local church understand how important the community is. And Lord, I pray that you would bless your church all over the world and embrace the mothers, the children, the fathers, Lord, the families as units, Lord. I pray for families who have built families without physical births, like I mentioned before, Jesus. We are so grateful that we have you to give us the strength. We thank you for your word that guides and leads our path. I pray, Lord, that today would be a blessing for many that hear our voices and may even hear something that will trigger a change in their attitude or a change in their outlook as to their relationship with their mothers, Lord. And I thank you that Margaret and I had the opportunities to see our mothers go into heaven, Lord, at peace, and to know that you were waiting for them and that they left godly women behind. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. We pray that as we've talked to Angela today on this Mother's Day that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.